So we both say, let's, I know we're not starting this year yet, but I want to just review one or two points so that you'll, this is not officially, okay. Not official, right?
38 seconds.
Okay. Okay, let's just clear the path here. Just watch out here for the hot water.
Okay. We're in hot water already?
Yeah, we're in hot water. I'm in hot water. Okay. So let's just review a little bit of what we did yesterday and fill in a piece of Gemara here on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Whoa. Bruchim Habaim. We need a seven-piece band here. Okay. I haven't seen you in months. Wow. This is really Shechiyonoviki money. Now, if you recall, the Mishnah was broken up into two parts. Initially, the Gemara tried to integrate them. It says, Ze omer ani mitzasiya. Ze omer ani mitzasiya. And then it says, Ze omer kula shali, Ze omer kula shali. The Gemara couldn't figure out why the Mishnah had to go through these two cases. You could have added them together and say, ani mitzasiya vikula shali. But the way it's set up as separate bamos, so the Gemara is now going to try to answer that question. And what we're looking at is the following. Utsricha. I'm sorry, before Utsricha. Omar Av Papa. So we're really up to Omar Av Papa. And for those who have a Gemara in front of them, and we'll get to Chulin and Mirtz Shev a little bit later on, don't worry, I have something that I want to study with you in Chulin. But first I want to try to understand Rav Papa. So Rav Papa is two lines up before the end of the Amud, and he says the following. He says, Resha b'mitzia v'seifa b'mekach u'memkar. That there are actually two cases in the Mishnah. One case is described as Anim Mitzasiya and Anim Mitzasiya, and the other case is described as Kulishali and Kulishali. One case is a case of Mitzia, so two people are fighting over a lost object, who picked it up first. And now we have a case of Mekach u'memkar. And that's a case where this one says Kulishali and that one says Kulishali. Okay, and what is the case of Mekach u'memkar? We're going to see as we go along. This is a case where there's a mocher, and nobody disagrees, there's no dispute about the mocher. He sold an object, and now there's a battle, there's a dispute between two lokhim, each one claiming that he was the one who bought the object. Now again, it seems that that would be the same as mitzia. If you would isolate, if you would let's say neutralize the ochazin, remember we spoke at great length Tosfos Dimaraskel of Yachloku, that the yisod of Yachloku here in our Mishnah is ochazin. So if you want to tell me in Mekach u'Memkar there was no ochazin, then I would begin to understand why the Mishnah completely goes off on a whole new attack, a whole new scenario, which is called Zelmer Kulishali, Zelmer Kulishali, in a case of Mechira where no one is Ochazin. But the premise of the Gemara is that it's the same Shnayim Ochazin Vitalis, meaning the opening line of the Mishnah, Shnayim Ochazin Vitalis, refers to both cases, both the case of Anim Tzasiya and Anim Mitzasiya, in the case of Zelmer Kulishali, Zelmer Kulishali, which now means Zelmer Ani Lekachtia, Lek Mekach, meaning I bought it. The Zelmer Ani Lekachtia, this one says, it's mine because I bought it. And they're both holding on to the talis. So that's why the Gemara needs this Utsricha. So the whole purpose of Utsricha here is to justify why we need both cases. We need a case of Shnayim Ochzim Vitalis in Mitzia, and Shnayim Ochzim Vitalis in Mechira. Okay then? So now we're up to Daf Beis Amud Beis. De'i Tana Mitzia Hava, I mean I would have said B'mitzia Hudu Ramu Rabbanon Shvuale. Now the premise of this Gemara is that every Shvua requires a what's called a Horas Heter. What does that mean? If you're talking about an outright gazlan, then this sugya, again, we're going to have another sugya that disagrees, but this sugya maintains that a gazlan will go all the way. He's going to take a shvua sheker. If he's willing to put his hand into your pocket and steal something, he's willing to take an oath. Again, as I said later on in Daf Hey, the Gemara is going to question that premise. But right now, the Gemara is operating with that premise. There's no point to a shvua if somebody is an outright gazlan. Where does the shvua help me? The shvua helps me in this gray area where we believe that someone might be lying, but yet he justifies his lie. Now, what does it mean he justifies his lie? He knows that he's fabricating the truth, but he thinks, you know what, it's not gzela. And anything that's not gzela, he's willing to live with. So he's not an outright gazlan, but he is a more heter. We're going to see this svara with regard to modu b'miktsas in something that's called ishtamuti kamishtavet. So he says, look, I really own the whole amount, but in the meantime, I don't have that amount in the bank. I don't have it as liquid assets. Let me postpone it by saying, you know, I only owe you this much. And then eventually I'm going to pay you back. So the shvua is going to force him to pay up now, because again, it's only a kind of horos heter. So the Gemara thinks that in the case of Metzia, there's more of a Ras Heter. Nobody's taking a loss here because it's a found object, but in Yiddish we call it gefunden geld. So I'm not sticking my hand into your pocket. You know, something fell from Shemayim. So the Gemara says here the Shvua makes sense. The Metzia hu deramu rabbanan Shvua le. Now again, please take note, and we've mentioned this in the past, that the Shvua here in our Mishnah is a shvua derabbanan. On a Doraisa level, this would not be a shvua. Why that's so is very complicated. That's going to be the sugya on Daf Gimel. Why this is not a shvua Doraisa. Alright, so I'm just pointing out a textual note that you should keep in mind as we drop a preview of coming attractions. The Gemara is going to pick this up later, that the shvua in our Mishnah is a takonis chacham. And we're going to have to figure out why there's no Doraisa and why the Rabbanan instituted the Shvua. But at least, within the broader context of Shvua and the way Shvua operates, we can justify this Takanas Chachamim. Why? Mishum demori v'yamri chavrai lav midi chasel. This is not gzela. I'm not taking something out of his bank account. He's not going to suffer a loss, a deficit in his bank, because it's a mitziah. Is Ezel the Atvis? Let me go ahead and grab onto this talus, Vias Palig Bahadeh, and I'll get half of the talus. So now the Shrua is going to say, are you willing to take an oath and violate the Isser of Lotisa Shem Hashem Lashav? You know, the Gemara says in Shrua is that the whole earth shook when God gave that. He's gonna back off, and he's gonna back off and admit the truth. Then the shvua has a justified purpose. Avol mekach umemkar delekel meimar hachi. Why? Because if I know that he paid for this object, and now I'm going to take it away from him by claiming that I bought the object, emo lo. We should consider the possibility, and that's why we need our Mishnah, that there will be no room for a shvua. Because basically, if I grab onto a talis that I know is yours because you paid for it with your good money, good earned money, then I'm an outright gazlan. And in such a case, chashed al mamona, chashed al shvuasa, that the same person who is capable of grabbing onto someone's talis and claiming it's his is capable of taking a shvua that he bought it and not someone.
Are you actually a gazlan? The guy's still holding on to it?
I'm not sure I understand your question, Sam. You paid for the object, and now you're holding on to the talus. I'm going to grab onto the talus and say, oh, I bought it. Is there a better...
Not grabbed away. You still hold it. I'm called a gazlan anyway. Is that called gzela?
No. Gzela is vayigzol asachinis miyad amitshi. I have to take it into my possession.
In this case, the other guy's still holding it.
He's holding on to it. He's holding on to it. He's a bum off the streets, and he grabs on to it. He says, you know, I'm going to claim that I bought the object.
He's not technically a gazlan. He's just a bum, right?
No. I'm sorry. I meant to say he's a bum and a Gaza, that's what I meant to say.
But the owner is still holding it.
Again, but I'm going to claim half of it. So let's say I have a gzela on half the talus.
That's called gzela on half.
Yeah. Well, it could be that in this case, because since he's claiming he bought the object, maybe it's a gzela on the entire object. I don't know. That's something that we have to take under advisement. I don't know, but he's certainly a gazlan on half the talis if he's hoping, you know, to get half the talis. Now the Gemara needs it in every tzichu, so you got to go the other way around. L'chora, if there's a shvu in the case of Mekach u'Memka, where there's no Ros Het there, then for sure there's going to be a shvu in the case of Metzia, where there is Ros Het there, and the shvu has a purpose. He's not an outright gazlan, because the Yedim is not losing anything. Oh, so the Gemara now changes the facts on the ground. V'itana Mekach u'Memka, I would have said that dafka in the case of Memkav Umeka, who the Rami Rabban and Shvua lay. In this case, there's room for a Shvua. Why? Mishum Demori, what kind of Horas Heter can you have here? The Amarni says, Chavrai Domi Yahiv, Vana Domi Yahivna. The Gemara is changing a little bit our understanding of the case of Mekach Umeka. It's much more complicated than we thought. It's not just a bum and a gazlan off the street who decides to grab onto a talis claiming he bought the talis, but rather it's a case where they both paid money. Now again, what's that called in there's a phrase in English, when you double something or other, when you take money from two people?
Double dipping.
Double dipping, maybe it's double dipping. So this mocher sold the same talis to two different people. He sold it to Reuven first, and then to Shimon second. Now let's assume, again, we have to go through the sugya line by line, so don't ask me any questions yet. I'm just trying to clear the air here about what exactly went on, so I don't know. But let's assume that the mocher had full intention to sell it to Reuven. So Reuven paid first. Now Shimon says to the mocher, you know what? I want to buy it. And he pushes Shimon. He pushes the mocher, sort of like he stuffs the money in his face. And now he grabs onto the talis. What's his horas head there? Look at this. He says, Chavrai dami yoyev, ana dami koyevna. I'm not a gazlan. I paid for it. He also paid for it. But Vahashta Trichel Didi, I need this talis desperately. Funny kind of thing. You know, he's grabbing onto someone else's talis because he needs it desperately. I was wondering whether the principle of Mitzvah Baba Vera would kick in over here. Ashkele Ano, again, this is all to understand the whole psychology of his Oras. I'm gonna take this talis. And let my friend, so to speak, meaning let Reuven Nem the cup and Shlug Devat, let him deal with the mocher and get his money back. He's going to demand a refund. V'chavroi lezil v'litrach v'lizbin, let my friend go back to the mocher and get his money back. So in effect, there are two reasons why he's not a gazlan in his mind.
Lizbin doesn't mean to purchase?
I don't know. Wait, one second. Maybe you're right and I'm wrong. But let me just see if I can work this out and then I'll correct my mistakes. Okay. So what I think is that Ros Heter is number one. He paid money for it. He actually forced the mocher to take the money. So it's not like he's stealing anything. And number two, let my disputant, you know, the other contestant here, Chavra Yelech, v'yikne lo b'kesev zetal sacheres. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. But again, I still think what I said is correct, that he's going to get his money back.
First, yeah.
And I need this talis desperately. He doesn't. This is not the only talis in the market.
The assumption is that the seller is going to give him back his money.
Correct. The first buyer, you know what? Let him go to the other end of town, you know, in the next shtetl over, and he'll buy himself a talis. Again, it's not clear why Shimon is so desperate for this talis. You know, he fell in love with this talis, or maybe he can't, you know, it's very hard for him to find another talis, the real Tirchi Yisera. And let this other guy. So in this case, that's not called Gzela, technically. Again, there might come under other Yisurim called Chamson and so forth, but at least he's not a gazlan. Oh. I will be mitzia lek lemeimar hachi. Why? Because once Reuven picked up the talis, how can Shimon justify it and say, well, I'm going to grab this talis out of Shimon's hand and I'm not a gazlan? What do you mean you're not a gazlan? You're an absolute gazlan. Again, the Gemara is not using the psychology, well, it's a mitzia anyway, he's not losing anything in the bank. But if I grant out his talus, he's losing the talus because he made a kinyan on the talus. He's a gazlan gomor, and therefore there's no ras heter, and therefore there's no point to the shrua because chasher abamona, chasher ashrusa. So in the case of mekach umemkar, if they both paid for the object, Shimon knows very well that Ruvain was first, right? And you know, the first one to come is called a code of zochin.
And he did not gain ownership. Allegedly, right?
Again, Shimon understands in this case that if Ruvain will get his money back, and not only that, he himself is willing to pay for it.
Ruvain did not take ownership yet.
He's holding on to the talus. I don't see why that's not ownership. He paid for the talus and he's holding on to it.
Vulcus bilis?
Correct. Because, you know, we're going to soon see, as Rashi's going to explain it, that Shimon is going to claim that Ruvain either changed his mind or never really had in mind that he would sell it, so there was no das mark. Again, there are many different variables here, but the basic principle on a superficial level is that in Shimon's mind, he's not a gazlan. Is he a gazlan? We'll have to judge him in a court, but he himself justifies that he's not a gazlan for two reasons. One is because he's paying for it, and number two, that the first buyer is going to get his money back. He'll be reimbursed, and he'll find the towel somewhere else. That's the psychological side of that. Now, Rabbos say this is Hakofa Aleph. Now we're in Hakofa Beis. Frek the Gemara Mekachu Memkar. I don't understand. There's some piece of the puzzle that's absolutely missing over here. Lech Zei Zuzei Miman Nokat. Yeah. So again, the Gemara hasn't yet clarified that both of them paid the money. Again, you know, this is what the Rishonim are going to work overtime to try to figure out. You know, in the Horas Heter that we just mentioned, it sounded like he, you know, the Mocher had accepted money from both of them. But now the Gemara doesn't know that, so to speak. A very strange Gemara. The Gemara now is oblivious to a piece of the puzzle, part of the scenario, which the Gemara seems to have already assumed in the first round, namely that both of them paid money. So you know, you have, this is what I call a havmina lamafreya. What's a havmina lamafreya? What we know in the Horas Heter is what the Gemara is going to finally conclude after a havmina. So the way that the Gemara was written is a little bit confusing to us, because in the Horas Heter, which explains the Tzrichus of why we need a Shvua, a Chiddush of Shvua in the case of Mekach Memkar, the Gemara is already assuming what the Gemara in the next line doesn't even know. Do you follow? So the premise of the Horas Heter was that there was money that was given by both of them. And that's what the Horas Heter is all about, that he'll get his money back and I'll get the talis because I paid for it and I'm not a gazlan, so forth and so on. But right now the Gemara is very naive. The Gemara doesn't understand that both of them paid money. So the Gemara says, Mekach u'memkar, I don't understand what the whole issue is about. Lech zei zuzi v'man nokat. Why don't we introduce the mocher into the picture and ask him from which of these two people did he accept money? Lo tzricha did nokat mitravaya. Now the Gemara reveals the secret at the end that we already knew, we were privy to this information. That what? That he accepted money from both of them. Now at this point, you know, I would tar and feather him. You know, what kind of business is you accept money from two people on the same object? So he says, you know what? Chad mi daita. I really only had in mind to give it to one of these two fellas. If only he would identify which of the two, but that's the problem, he doesn't know which of the two, right? Umichad, the other one, Balkarch, the other one stuffed the money into my face. He forced me to take the money. I never had in mind to sell it to him. However, Lo Yadani, I don't know. Mihu, Midaito, Mihu, Balkarch. It's very similar to Manashlishi, if you remember, where the Nifka doesn't remember which of the two gave him that Manashlishi. He knows it was one of two, but he doesn't know which one. In this case, he got money from both of them, so it's not like the case of Manashlishi, but on the other hand, he cannot identify where the Das Makda was. So it's which one of these two Mokrim he agreed to sell it to, and which one of the two Mokrim he was forced to accept the money. But it's very fascinating here that if he would only say Lyodana, That would solve the problem.
It'd be over.
So the Rishonim again are going to have a lot of trouble with this, because in Dine Mavanos we need what's called Shnei Eidim. Al Pi Shnei Eidim Yakum Dovar. And some Rishonim, I think, are going to, as we go through the Tosis on the Sugya, some Rishonim are going to go as far as to say that this is the Sugya called Eid HaMisayeah. What's the Sugya of Eid HaMisayeah? If I have a dispute with so-and-so, then in certain cases, if I bring one aid to support my claim, that would be enough. So if the mocha would only identify which of the two he accepted midaito, he accepted the money midaito, that would be eid echad to support that one claimant that he says, I was the one that midaito, and eid echad ha-misayeah. But again, before we know the concept of eid echad misayeah, we have to really ask a very basic question on the Gemara. Lu yitzuyer, even in a case where the mocha would know to identify which one of the two of the two buyers he had das for, that's only eid echad. And in a dispute between two people in Dini Mavanis, we need two eidim. So yeah. that's a problem.
Eid echad causes a shavua.
Correct, but keep in mind that in this case in the Mishnah, well, that's because he doesn't know. Now, what would the Mishnah say in a case? See, the Gemara gives the impression that if Luyitzu the Mocha would know, and this is again a sugya kedushin,
it would be over.
That he would be believed.
Yeah,
he would be. There would be no room for a shvua here. No, nobody could contest that testimony of the Mocha if he only knew which of the two. Okay. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi in Amud Aleph says the following. B'mekach u'mekach, memkar, k'nisiyo miyad ploni, right, each one is claiming he bought it from so-and-so, b'dafka mekach u'memkar, hu di'amrini yachloku b'shvua. Di'ika l'beim eshneim kanu'uhu, u'lishneim nisratza mocher. Interesting. Rashi raises the possibility that the mocher sold it to both of them with full approval, full agreement. That's called Achaluka Yichol Lios Emes. I will zelmer anirak tia, vizelmer anirak tia, lo yachloku, divadi dechad minai ramahu, v'tei munachas atshiyovo elyo. So just like in the case of Manashlishi, you remember we had this whole shtickle Torah in Tosis, Dibra Masav Yachloku, that we don't believe that at some point Reuven said to Shimon, you know what, I'm going to sell you something and you're going to pay me with the other half of this money that's being held by a third party, by a custodian, and the Nifkat is really holding on behalf of half of both of them, and maybe it's Chaluka Yicholios Emes. Tosa says that that's not so. So there's a Vadei Ramai, and therefore we're going to suspend the principle of Yachloku and instead so Rashi applies the same reasoning to Aniyah Raktiyah V'Aniyah Raktiyah. Either one of them wove this garment or the other one wove this garment. We don't believe that maybe they both wove the garment or one of them sold half of the garment. All that is not. So there's a Vadei Ramai. Here Rashi says it's very possible and very plausible that the mocher sold it to both of them. So that Rashi, just I'm mentioning it in passing, because that has to be studied. Now let's look at the Rashi on Omid Beis. Mora vi Omar. Rashi says, Mora heto li atzmo lachos ba shalo b'mishpat. I don't know if he means gzela. Lav midi choser. So in the case of Mitzia, he has right to say, again, no right to say, I mean, obviously he's a Goslin, but in his mind, he convinces himself, eino mafsid klum. Why bechinam balo vi afpalo torach? You know, Rashi wants to use two elements here because I have to justify two things. Number one, if I'm hassling you to have to replace it with a whole torach, and number two, if I'm causing you some sort of loss in your bank account. So in this case, you know, he just lifted up the talus. That's all he did. So there's no Torah element here. And secondly, he doesn't lose anything in the bank because it's a mitzia. Kiru Kimno Lekaman. Rashi is already introducing the maskana that the Gemara is going to say that the mocher received money from both of them. To knock at Mitravayu, he's got money from both of them. Chad Midaitim, Chad Bal Korcho. Ukshi Yichloku, Yitol Zechatzimo Osov, Vizechatzimo Osov. Is Afilu Hochi Chisornu Etzlo, the Ilo Avit Sarachle. Right, so again, he's going to get reimbursed on half of the talus. He'll keep half the talus and get reimbursed on the other half of the talus. But there's still a great hefseid. Why is a great hefseid? And therefore, there's no aras heter. This is in the tzad that had we had mitziah, we wouldn't have known that there's room for a shvu in the case of ekachum memkar. Why is he obviously giving his friend a terrible time? He says because the ilo avi matzrichle lo avi mahader abasre lemizne. The very fact that he worked very hard to find a talis seller to sell him this talis, that itself is a tremendous investment of time. And v'zeh bol achlo v'liten chatzi dom shelo kedin mechasro. Here, even though, see, Rashi's bothered here. Why isn't it easy for the Gemara to come up with Oras Hetu in the case of Mekach u'Memkar? If they both paid for it, they're both going to get reimbursed. He's not causing him any loss. He's going to get half the talus, and he'll get reimbursed for the other half of the talus. So that also could come under Oras Hetu. But the answer is, Rashi says, that at the end of the day, they're going to sell the talus on the market. No one's going to get this talus. And the other guy realizes that there was a lot of effort being invested here to find this talus. Oh. Now, the Gemara says, Domi Koyahivna. Now, Rashi doesn't understand. And this is already in the second Tzrichusa, if it only had Mekach u'Memkar. And he justifies it by saying Damim Kayahivna, which we interpreted to mean that I already paid for it. Rashi has a problem with that because the Gemara doesn't know yet to knock out Zuzi Mitravayu. So Rashi adds a little knetcha, Damim Ani Rotze Lite. In other words, I have full intention to pay up. Rashi now gives us room for the Gemara's next kasha. If he hasn't given the money yet, then why not just turn to the Mocher? And the mocher will identify who paid the money. So again, he's going to say, well, I need the talis desperately, more desperately than Yenim. So as far as Tircha is concerned, I deserve the talis. Let him go find the talis elsewhere. And as far as Damim is concerned, I have full intention to pay for the Damim, which means that he'll get his money refunded. What am I going to say? I'm going to justify it by saying, let him find the Mitzia down the block. There's no doubt that he won't be able to find it down the block. A Mitzia of a talis is not so easy. Now we get to the second part of the sugya. Oh, here's the sugya condition. Neman bala mekach lomar lazemacharti velazelomacharti. That we always trust the mocher because the mocher has to know who paid him the money. Like, let's say, for example, you pay something in advance and then the mocher has to deliver the goods. He's going to definitely want to keep a ledger, you know, to make sure that he delivers the goods to the right person. Somebody else might come and claim, well, I paid you already. So the Gemara says that special status of the mocher, which is called the manus, is conditional. It is restricted. But Medvarim says the Gemara kedushin b'mekcho biyado. Now in this case, where is the mekach? It's shnayim osim v'talis. So clearly, it's not mekcho biyado. In other words, basically, the psychology here is that once I sell you something, if I deliver the goods, I'm not going to be very careful about keeping a scorecard, you know, keeping a diary to make sure that I record that I got money from you and it's yours. Once it's out of my hands and I've already delivered the goods, I'm always going to assume that that parish is ended, finito. I've already given you the goods, and now the mocher no longer could have a special nemunis to say that that lezemachati lezelomachati. Again, we have to work out the details as to how this works. In other words, why is it that he's believed when he has the mekach biyado, and he's not believed when it's a mekach biyado? But at least on a psychological level, we can understand it. Because as long as it's mekach biyado, that's his responsibility. He has to know who paid him and to whom he has to deliver the goods.
He's still in the middle of the transaction.
Correct.
Well, and once it's over, he's
and once it's
the
over, you
thing.
Know what? He goes, yeah. They didn't have computers like we have today, where you could, you know, you can track something down from 50 years ago. It's in the computer that I bought it from you. So he doesn't pay attention. He doesn't have it in his mind. So he's not believed. So Rashi now is a kasha. What is the Gemara's premise here? The underlying premise that we should just ask the mocher, whom did he get the money from? What do you mean, whom did he get the money from? He's already given up the talis. If he's given up the talis, he has no nemunis to say, oh, I sold it to him and not to him. Zot Rashi. Right, and now Rashi gives the psychology. He says, Shalom nosan lev l'dover kol kach li'ol zochor me'achar sheshneim chazru achar v'pisuk domim. Right, there were two people who were trying to purchase the object. He's not going to remember to whom he sold it if he already gave up the object. It's no longer in his possession. So Rashi says, "Oh, Kim Nahasim v'din Nakat Zuzi Mitravayu." The Gemara says, "Why isn't he believed? Why isn't he believed if it's Ein Mekach?" Oh, no, I'm sorry. So again, if he received payment from one person, and he already coughed up the object, he already transferred over the object, then he's not believed. If there's going to be a dispute about to whom he sold it. But if he's holding on to the money, which he received from two different people, then he has to remember which person he actually sold it to. And that believability, that special credibility of the nemunis of a mocher, applies even if it's ein mekach biyado. So again, if he took money from one person, he's only believed with that special nemunis if it's mekach biyado. But if he took money from two people, the issue is which one was the real buyer, you know, and he had das to him, and now he has to choose one or the other, then he's believed, even if it's what? Even if it's ein mekach biyado. So the Gemara now has a pretty good argument here that we should turn to the mocher, and we should believe the mocher when he identifies to whom he sold it. Whenever I say those words, to whom he sold it, you just fill in the blank, to whom he had das and approval to sell it. So he should be believed, even if it's ein mekach biyado, because he took the money from two of them. They came into low al lay ramya lasudi lo dokuli hai lios nizkar mishaholku in front of hemi daitav hemi bal karcho al hechesh lo kibul dom el michad midkar dokule. Okay, so Rashi says the following. What happens if he received domim from two people and he gave up the object, then he's not believed. The Gemara now in the Havamina is of the impression that Mekach Umemka means that he only received money from one of them. If he received money from one of them, then the Gemara thinks that he should be believed. And why? Because he's not confused. Let me explain what I mean. If he received money from two people and... One second. If he received money from two people and he's already delivered the goods, then Rashi says, right? He doesn't feel the onus, the burden of having to testify in this case as to who gave the money midaito or not. Is therefore lo dok kuli hai lios nizka mishaholchu b'fanam. Again, I don't know what he means by mishaholchu l'fanam. Does it mean that he already delivered it? He delivered the object. If he hasn't delivered the object, then he's believed. If he received the money from one of them, then he has to know and he will be neman to say from whom he received the money. But if he receives the money from two of them, both of them, and one midai to one bal kochi, then he doesn't think it's his responsibility to remember who gave him the money midas and who shalom midas. And that's the Gemara's answer. Tzricha d'nok ad zuzi mitravayu. V'lo yad ino en mehei midai to mehei bal kochi. Ah. So Rashi changes the girsa here, because the girsa seems to imply that he would be believed if he would only testify who paid him. Rashi's of the opinion that once he takes money from two of them and he's already said goodbye to them, from that point on, lo rami alei lasudi, he doesn't think he has to testify. It's not his responsibility. V'lo da kuli hai. So what does the Gemara mean when it says lo tzricha d'nok et zuzi mitravayu v'lo yada, and he doesn't remember? It's implying if he would remember, he would be believed. Rashi holds that once he takes money from two people, he's no longer believed. So Rashi changes the girsa. V'lo yad inon, we don't know. V'afilum hu yoda, afilum yada, even if he does claim he knows, bazu eina bocher neman mishaholfu. And he quotes a Gemara Kedushin that says that once these two people, each of which have a claim, left his presence. Again, I'm going to add the other condition that he already delivered the goods. Because again, if he didn't deliver the goods, he still has to know to whom to deliver the goods. Why is it lo rami anafshe and he's not believed? It's because not only did he already deliver the goods, but he accepted money from two, and they left his presence. Once they left his presence, he doesn't feel that he has to be the final judge, the final decider as to which one of them. So he puts it out of his mind. So when the Gemara says now lo tzricha d'nok et zuzi mitravayu, it doesn't mean that he's believed, because the Gemara says in Kedushin he's not believed if the two people left his presence. Mishaholchu milafano. But rather, we have to change the gears of a lo yadin, and we don't know which of the two actually paid the money, and there was a rutzel, there was a das to sell it to that person. We don't know. Meaning that even if the mocher himself claims he does know, he doesn't have that credibility to testify. And we're going to split the talis because we really don't know which claim is the true claim. Now again, let's go over the Horas Heter and why it's simple in this part of the Gemara. It's definitely goes without saying that each one has to take a Shvua, and the Horas Heter is because since A, I paid for it, and B, I say that your Tircha is no big deal, I need this Talis desperately for a reason, you'll find another place to get the Talis, and in such a case, he's Mora Heter, and he grabs on to the talis. There's no monetary loss because each one is going to get half the talis or half the value of the talis, and the rest he'll get reimbursed. And the mocher is not believed because it's already holchu milafana. Now, what I'd like to do is learn with you Tosfos Dibra Maskil I Tana Mitzia. And I'm going to make life a little easier for myself. I'm going to just read it with a little bit of... Not that this ever helps me, but... anyway, so Tosfos says the following. Mishum demora v'omer chavroi lav midi choser lakach tofis afagav shiodeh shachaveru mitza'o. So he knows full well that his friend Reuven grabbed onto the talis, and he found it first. So why is this called lav midi choser? And the answer is because it's a mitzir. Avol mekachu memkar lekelamemar hachi she'im yodea shechaveru kna'a. And just like in the first case, he knows that his friend made the kinyan on the mitzir. Here in this case, he knows that his friend purchased the talis. Lo avi tofis. Just 1 second. Ubemekach umeka delek lemeimer hachi. Just 1 second. Right. In other words, this would be outright gzela. One second. Again, what are we saying? Itar mitzia. I would think that a mitzia there's room for a shvuah, but in the case of mekach u'memkar, there's no room for a shvuah. And why is that so? He says, "Sheim yodea shechavero knaa lo avi tofes umid tofes basover shalohu v'nisratza hamocher."
He doesn't know that he sold it to the
person. Wait, Jimmy, just I don't know tight. I just give me 1 minute just to let it sink in. Sheim yodea shechavero knaa lo avi tofes. Umid tofis basover shalohu v'nisratze hamocher kesein kam de nokat zuze mitravayu. So he's quoting now the maskonas asugya that he took money, that the mocher took money from both of them. Correct? And since the mocher took money from both of them, so he feels that he is justified in grabbing onto the talis because Nisratza Mocher, the Mocher agreed to sell it to him. Let me just finish reading it. Ema lo yishava mishum shvua lo yifashe hu sover lo mekomashman dafiloch yishava. Eicha shevadai. In other words, what does it mean? Tosa is saying that if he knew that his friend purchased it, he would not grab onto it, because that would be outright gzela. So why did he grab onto it? Because again, the shvua is meant to bring him to the admission that he grabbed onto it. So he grabbed onto it thinking that
the mocher really agreed to sell it
to that guy. He thinks he agreed to sell it to me, and that's how he justifies grabbing onto the talis. We're going to have him take a shvua, and what's he going to say? He's going to say that he's not going to back down. Kamash malon, the filu hachi yishava, the heichesh vaday eno sover lomar emes kigod the katoin. Okay, that's already on nirag tia. Just 1 second. So let me just read to you the translation. He says the following. Yeah, it's just up to the level of translation.
He has a spin.
Just want to get the mathematics here. So what's the mathematics? He says the following. He says that in the case of what? Of Mitzia. He says, "Lav midi chosibah." Right? Enu mafsid klum. Sherei lo shilim klum. Right? So he's not losing any money on the pocket, and there was no tircha. That's what we said. Well, lekach tofes. He's afgav shiyodei shachaveru mitzaa. But since he comes up with all these justifications, we need to impose the shvua, and hopefully he will. Let's confess that he grabbed onto the talis second. In his mind, he thinks, well, he doesn't lose any money if I take the talis away, and he didn't put out any effort, so it's no big deal. Oh, that's in the case of Mitzia Lav Midi Chos, Vilchein Tofas, Afagav Diodesh Chaver Mitzah. And therefore, Rami. Rabban and Shmuley, that's the part that we understand. Now we get to the tough part of Tosis. Avo mekach u'memkar delekele meimar hachi. There's no room for what? For horas heter. Why? Im yodea shechaver kno. If he knows that this talis really belongs rightfully kedasu kedin to his friend Reuven, is what is lo avi tofes pa? Why? Because his friend worked very hard to buy it, so there's no room for ras heter. Is midat tofes pa? If he grabbed onto it, just give me a second here, if he grabbed onto it, and he knows that the talis is not his, umidit tafisba. So just give me a second. I'm sorry, I apologize. Just 1 second. So since he grabbed onto it, that means, just 1 second, umidit tafisba. The MS what? Eina talis shalo. The savur shalohu. The lonis ratza. Hamocher, that the ritzui was for him. Masak l'kamon is emelo yishava. Why? Because the whole purpose of the shvua is that he should admit that he lied. Yishum shvua lo yifrosh. Sharei sover hu lomar emes. Because he's going to justify that he's holding on to the talis because he thinks that the talis was sold to him. He thinks that the talis was actually sold to him. And if he would have known clearly that the talis was sold to Reuven, then he wouldn't have grabbed onto it. Because again, we're not dealing with an outright gazlan, right? The whole purpose here... One second. Right. We have to avoid, there are two extremes I think that we have to avoid. We have to avoid the extreme that he's an outright gazlan, because then the shvua certainly would make no sense. But on the other hand, we have to avoid a situation where he's an outright emistika guy, because if he's, once again, the shvua is not going to be meaningful. So we have to get to that middle ground where on the one hand he realizes that he's not playing fair, he's playing foul play here, but on the other hand he's not an outright gazlan. That's where the shvua is meaningful. Here in this case, the Gemara thinks it's either A or B on one of the two extremes. There's no middle case. Why? If you're talking about a gazlan and he knew very well that Reuven bought it, then again the shvua would be meaningless. Ella what? He thinks that he bought it. Well, then again the shvua is meaningless because he thinks that he has every right to grab onto the talis. Oh, so what's the kamashmalon? Kamashmalon dafilu hachi yishava. So let's see if we can figure that out. He writes the following: Kevan diyesh lochush shezesh ein atal shlo mode. I'm sorry, more ahead to liatzu viomer harei chaveri eino mafsidim achlok imo. He doesn't lose anything. Sharia moche yachzelo, etc., etc. Is therefore reu oches betalis afal pishi yodesh ena shayech shayeches lo is lachein ramu ale rabbanon shvua kedeshi yifrosh. So in the Habamina we thought that there's no room for a shvua here because he's going to convince himself that he's emes. But kamashma, no, there is room for a shvua. Why? Because he was Mora Heter because what? Because his friend is not going to take a loss. So it's not the Horas Heter in the Havamina. The Horas Heter in the Havamina was a very extreme Horas Heter that really in truth I paid and Nokat Zuzi Mitravayu and he was Misratza to me. Such a shvua would be meaningless because he's going to take the shvua to that effect because he's convinced that the talis is his. What's the Kamashmalon? That the Horas Heter is not that he thought it was sold to him. He understands very well that the talis was sold to Reuven. He's not an outright gazlan. Why? He justifies because his friend is going to get back a rebate on his money. And he holds on to the talis and he justifies himself by saying that even though it's not my talis, but my friend is not going to lose anything, and maybe he can buy a talis up the block, and therefore I'm going to fabricate the truth and say that he sold it to me. Now I'll just read one more line, and then you heal the floor. It goes, "Vehecha shevadai eino sover lomar emes." So if he's an outright thief, could go into katoin kol echan ani araktia. Is then there's no room for a shvua, Well, again, Rashi says in such a case there's no room for Yachloku. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Tos says there's no room for a Shvuah. Let me just see if this makes sense. So again, each one claims he wove the talis. Is Echemem Toin Shechem Amazin? There's no question that somebody is lying through his teeth. And therefore what? I don't know. I'm not sure what Tos would say. Therefore there's no room for Yachloku because Einachluk Yecholios Emes. Is that what he means?
No, there's no room for a Shvuah.
Or he means there's no room for a Shvuah. Well, no, he's assuming Tosfos. You could argue with him that each one, only one of them wove the sweater. That's his premise. You could argue with that, but that's the premise of Tosfos. Oh. So now what happens? In the case of Mechira, where the Gemara says that the mocher received money payment from both of them, so it could be possible that, you know, Shimon made a mistake and he thinks that the mocher sold it to him. Again, that's not the reason for the shvuah. I think that's the reason for yachloku, meaning it's not a vade ramai here. You follow what I'm saying? We're both like, we went through various possible thoughts that crossed the mind of Shimon. One of the possible thoughts is that he thought that that in fact the mocher sold it to him. Correct?
Without knowledge of the first person?
What did he say?
Without knowledge of the first person buying it? You didn't know there was a first person?
Again, he knew that there was a first person, but he thought that since the mocher sold it to both of them, the mocher is not going to decide, you know, who's his best buddy or so. So he thinks that, you know, if I had to win the popularity contest with this mocher, I would come in first. So probably
how was that even relevant? I mean,
why is it relevant? Because then it's relevant for two reasons. First, it's relevant because then the shvuah becomes meaningless. Why? Because he's going to actually take the shvuah that this talus is mine. He is, in his mind, he's convinced himself that the talus is his. So the shvuah is going to serve absolutely no purpose. That's the havamina. Why, if not for the mission of Mecha Kumemka, we would be totally in the dark about the Shvuah. Now he's going even a step further. He's saying as a result of this possibility that he convinced himself that the Mocha sold it to him, it's not a case of Avadei Ramai. And it stands in contrast to the case of Zeomer Aniraktia, therefore we can apply the principle of Yachlok.
But there's no halakhic ground for the mocher to change his mind and decide for the second buyer. Once the first buyer is done.
Well, I guess he's convincing himself that since he took money from both of them, obviously he hasn't made a decision yet. You follow what I mean? In other words, we're not assuming that the mocher is an outright gazlan. Why did he take money from two people? Apparently he hasn't yet decided which of the two. He knows that there's a line of people, you know, outside his door of potential buyers, or at least the two people online. And, you know, let's get as much as we can out of this, and he hasn't yet really decided who he wants to sell it to. Okay, Rabosai, let's learn some Masechta Chulin now. I have a